All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, if you will, over toward the end of the book. And I want to read a little thing that happened here while the Lord was in being tried at the house of Caiaphas. On the many trips to Israel that we have taken, and many of you have been with us on those trips, we always go to the house of Caiaphas, and it is one of the premier places to visit. We go down into the dungeon area where they took our Savior, and where they beat him through the night, and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin did their best to incriminate him and to find him guilty so that they could take him to Pilate and have him crucified. Well, here's the story. If you will look, please, at verse 47 and down to verse 56, you will see the story of Judas and how Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. He betrayed him with a kiss on his cheek. And when the soldiers saw that Judas placed a kiss on the cheek of the Lord, that was the sign that that he was the one they were to arrest. And so that story takes us down to verse 51. And if you'll look at verse 51, it says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew out his sword." All right, he stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. All right, so this servant of the Lord, this one of them that were with Jesus, well, that one was the Apostle Peter. Now, Matthew does not tell us that, but we are told that in the other Gospels, and so we know that it was the Apostle Peter. And we know that this servant was a fellow by the name of Malchus, and Peter was not such a good aim that he was able to just hit Malchus on the ear. He was not that good of a swordsman, but so what he was trying to do was split Malchus into two pieces, trying to take off his head. And Malchus just turned in just the right way so that the sword of Peter just cut the ear off, and the Lord Jesus reached down, took that ear, and put it back on Malchus's head. Now, you can imagine, oh my, what would you have done if you had witnessed that? Well, nonetheless, it did not stop what was happening and what they came to do. So in verse 57, we read these words. It says, "And they," and that's all of the soldiers who came, "and they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." Now, here's my text verse, and I want you to look at verse 58 very, very carefully. It says in verse 58, "But Peter followed him afar off." Now, I want you to underline or make note somehow of that little phrase, "But Peter followed him afar off." Now, I want you to notice it says that he followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. All right, let me read the verse again. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, following from afar. Following from afar. Now, I'm from West Virginia, you know that. And I'm not saying following from a fire. I'm saying following from afar. All right, so I know what I'm saying, and so don't laugh. All right, now, let's pray, and then we'll get to this message. Let's pray. Father, I pray now you will bless and help us tonight as we look at this subject of following from afar. Father, what a blessing it is to be able to read the Bible and apply what we read to our hearts, that we might grow, that we might be encouraged, and that we might be challenged in this evil day to live for you. And Father, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit now and help me as I speak. I may be preaching tonight to an empty building, but I'm not preaching to empty souls, empty hearts. I'm preaching to the church of the open door scattered all over this area. And so, Father, bless tonight. We need to hear from heaven. I pray you'll keep the distractions at a minimum. Help us to focus and to give our attention to the Word of God. So bless now. Bless my wife, Karen, as she interprets, and just help her to do a good job to assist our deaf members. And Father, I pray you'll fill her with your Spirit and guide and direct her as well. So give us your presence, Father. We need that tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to just take this 58th verse tonight, and I want to show you a couple things that I trust will be an encouragement and a help to you. This passage of Scripture, starting all the way back in verse 47, where we see our Lord arrested, from there all the way really to about the end of the chapter, we see the failures of the Apostle Peter. We see in this 58th verse what happens when we distance ourselves from the Lord. Folks, I guess tonight I want to preach to you about staying close to the Lord. Just stay close to the Lord. During this time, you're not in church. You don't have the motivation of being here and around your family in Christ. And so let me just challenge everyone tonight to realize that this is a prime time for the devil to come along and trip you up. So I want you to stay close to the Lord, and I want you to apply what I'm going to give you tonight to your individual heart. Now, it may be easy to sit here and say, you know, my child needs this. No, we all need this. It might be easy for you to sit here and look across the couch and say, boy, my husband sure needs this. Well, he may, but you do as well. So let's all look at ourselves tonight in the light of the Scripture. Now, I want you to notice that this verse shows us what happens when we distance ourselves from the Lord. And I want you to notice it is not a pretty picture, but sin never paints a pretty picture. It is always, always a disaster. Now, you may remember that the Apostle Peter, just a few hours earlier, had boasted that he would never deny the Lord. He told Jesus, I'll never deny you. And yet, here he is denying the Lord. He is, in this passage of Scripture, denying the Lord. And I want you to realize that it happened when Peter let too much distance come between himself and his Lord. His devotion and his fellowship with the Lord declined gradually until it was said of him here in this verse that he followed him afar off. Now, I think that there are many, many folks in our world today who know the Lord as their Savior. Many folks, but they're just like the Apostle Peter here in this story. One of the reasons that we all so readily can identify with the Apostle Peter is because we can see so much of ourselves in his life, in his stories. And so what we're going to see here is the cost that this lack of devotion and fellowship with the Lord, we're going to see just how pricey it really was. Now, there are four bad results that I see of following the Lord afar off. I want you to keep your Bible open so that you can look at verse 58 and follow the message tonight. All right? If you follow the Lord from afar, if you follow the Lord afar off, then first, I want you to understand that just like Peter, you're going to end up in the wrong place. If you follow the Lord afar off, first of all, you will end up in the wrong place. And that is exactly what happened to the Apostle Peter here. You see, he ended up at the high priest court. He ended up warming himself by a fire just outside of where Caiaphas was holding this mock trial. And for sure, the Apostle Peter had no business being there. He had absolutely no business being there. You see, the court of the high priest was not a place that honored the Lord that Peter followed. The court was not a place that honored the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, folks, when Peter was standing there around that fire, warming his hands with those people who were not saved and did not know the Lord and did not want to know the Lord, I'll guarantee you that while Peter was standing there, he heard nothing but negative comments about the Lord Jesus. I'll guarantee you, they would have been standing there slandering our Lord. They would have been there speaking blasphemy against him and cursing in every sentence. They would have been lying about him and making up tales about him that were not true. They would have been mistreating him as they spoke of him. And they would have been, I'll guarantee you, unjustly condemning the Lord Jesus. I promise you, those things were going on out there. Not one person standing around that fire would have been favorable to our Savior. And so it is not good for God's people to be in such places. And you know, the Bible warns us about the people that we hang around with. I have said many, many times from behind this pulpit in the last 24 years, I have said to you that if you show me your friends today, I will show you what you're going to be like tomorrow. And that is so true. You see, the wrong crowd can get you in the wrong place. And that is where Peter ended up. He ended up in the wrong place, and he ended up there very quickly. Folks, listen, it is not good to be in the wrong place for a very obvious reason. And that reason is this: it only encourages you to dishonor Christ even more, just like it did with Peter. He found it easier to dishonor the Lord by hanging around others who dishonored him. There is no doubt about it. If we follow the Lord Jesus from afar, from a distance, we will end up in the wrong place. I remember just after I got saved, I've told you this before. I went to my old friends the next day and told them that I had gotten saved yesterday. And when I got saved, my life changed. I mean, everything changed. And when I got saved, I've told you that my pastor said, you need to read this Bible every day. And so I took him at his word, and I started reading the Bible every single day. And when I did, I started growing as a Christian. And I found out that I didn't have to get new friends because I couldn't hang around with my old friends. I had to get new friends because my old friends didn't no longer want to hang around with me. All right? And so it worked out good for me. But I think a lot of folks, they try to hide their Christianity from the people at work and from those that that they associate with. But folks, listen, if you follow the Lord from afar, you're going to find that you're one day going to end up in the wrong place. But then secondly, I want you to notice that if you follow from afar, you will end up around the wrong people. Not only will you end up in the wrong place, but when you're in the wrong place, you will end up around the wrong people. You'll notice here, it says, but Peter followed him. He followed him afar off unto the high priest palace, and went in and sat with the servants. Whose servants? The servants of Caiaphas. They were dismissed for the night. And so they went outside to warm themselves by the fire. And while they were out there is when Peter joined them. So we can see this point is in that little phrase that he sat. Notice that he sat with the servants. So you'll end up hanging around the wrong people. All right. In the wrong place, you will almost always find the wrong crowd. And the truth is, when you follow the Lord Jesus afar off, when you do not have a close walk of fellowship with the Lord, it will eventually lead you to hanging with the wrong people. And again, folks, the Bible has many, many warnings about this matter. As King David began the book of the Psalms, he said this in Psalm 1 and verse 1. He said, blessed is the man that, and then a statement, but then here's the one I want you to notice. Blessed is the man that sitteth not. You hear that? It says that Peter sat with the servants. And David said, all those many years ago, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. In other words, you don't hang around with the wrong crowd. You don't hang around with those that that don't share your Christian values and don't love the Lord Jesus the way you do. So David is saying in Psalm 1 that if you want to be blessed of God, don't hang out with the wrong people. Hang out with the right people. You ought to hang out with people who are going to push you toward the Lord, not away from the Lord. And so Peter found out, but sadly he found out the hard way, that sitting with the wrong crowd is a very quick way to lose your blessing. I'll not take the time to do it, but if you'll read down to verse 69, 70, 71, 72, you'll see here that when all this was over, in verse 74, look at it. Then began he to curse and to swear. You say, well, who's cursing and swearing? Peter. You say, well, wait a minute, Peter, you mean the guy that walked on the water? Yes. You mean the guy that was up on the Mount of the Transfiguration with our Savior and who saw Elijah and Moses? That Peter? Yes, that Peter. And now here he is with the wrong crowd in the wrong place. And you find him cursing and swearing, and look at the rest of the verse, saying, I know not the man. I know not the man. And then, you know the story, the Lord Jesus had told him just a few hours earlier that he would betray him before the rooster crowed. And in verse 75, it says, and Peter, verse 74 says the rooster crowed, but then in verse 75, it says, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now watch this. And he went out and wept bitterly. Oh my. You don't want to be to find yourself in a situation where you are hanging out with the wrong people, and instead of imitating Christ, you're imitating the wrong people. You're acting just like them. You're acting just like the world, and find yourself embarrassed because of your testimony that you know Christ. Peter found out the hard way that sitting with the wrong crowd is a quick way to lose your blessing. He went out and wept bitterly. What is a servant of the Lord sitting with the enemy around the fire and warming himself? What's he doing there with those people who despised the Lord that he loved? You see, Elijah was asked a question one day, what doest thou here? What doest thou here? And you know, we sometimes probably ought to stop and ask ourselves that question. What are you doing here, Christian? You should not be anywhere where you would not want the Lord Jesus to be standing right by your side. And so we need to ask ourselves that question often, because that is one of the best ways for us to take our spiritual temperatures. And again, when you follow the Lord afar off, you will inevitably end up with the wrong crowd. All right, thirdly, I want you to notice from this verse that if you follow from afar, you will end up in the wrong position. You say, well, Pastor, how do you get that? Well, I get that from that one little word in the verse that says sat. Sat. You see, if you don't follow the Lord closely and you end up following him from afar, you will undoubtedly end up in the wrong position. We are told here that the Apostle Peter sat. He sat with the servants of the high priest. So let me tell you, you say, well, Pastor, what's wrong? What do you see in that that's wrong? Well, here's what I see. This is what I see wrong with his position of sitting. You see, Peter was sitting and he was listening to the wrong crowd in the wrong place as they made their ugly accusations and injustices that were directed against the Lord Jesus. You say, well, what's the problem? Here's the problem, folks. Peter should have been standing for the Lord, not sitting with the enemy, not sitting with the enemies of the Lord. But you see, when you follow afar off, the first thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to lose your zeal. You're going to lose your convictions, and you're going to find yourself in a compromising situation, just like the Apostle Peter did. You'll be sitting and condoning when you should have been standing and condemning. You know, the Apostle Paul told us that the Lord Jesus said, now none of the gospel writers told us this, but the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that the Lord Jesus said one time, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, folks, if we follow the Lord afar off, we will certainly find ourselves not too long down the road in the wrong position. If ever there was a day when the people of God need to get up and stand for the Lord Jesus, it's today. Don't let yourself get into the wrong position. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, don't get like Peter and follow afar off. Here's what you do. You make up your mind you're going to live for the Lord every day. Just make up your mind you're going to get in the Word of God and read it. And you're going to get near the Lord. Don't forget the promise. If you draw near to God, if you draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto you. So that's how you stay close to the Lord. Just don't let gaps get between you and the Lord. But you know, it's real easy for us. We miss one day and the devil will inevitably get us to the place where we're too busy, where we think we're too busy. If you're too busy to read your Bible, you're just too busy. That's all I can tell you. All right. So don't let the devil convince you to take even one day and get away from the Lord. Because if you do it the one day, it's easier to do it the next day. So make up your mind. Stay close to the Lord. Get you a Bible reading program. You say, well, where do I get that? How about start in the Gospel of John? Just start in the Gospel of John and read the book of John. When you get John finished, then go back and read Matthew, and then read Luke, and then read Mark, and then read the book of Acts, and then the epistles. I mean, you've got plenty that will keep you busy and keep you close to the Lord during this time. And then lastly, if you follow the Lord from afar off, you will find yourself soon with the wrong perspective. With the wrong perspective. All right, now let's look at the verse again, verse 58, and I want you to look at that last phrase, but let's read the whole verse to get down to it. It says, but Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now I want you to notice that. Matthew tells us that Peter went in and sat. He went to the wrong place and he got with the wrong people, and then he was in the wrong position. He was sitting with the enemy. And then fourthly, he found himself with a wrong perspective. You see, if you hang around with those that you shouldn't be hanging around with, it's not long before you lose your perspective. You see, sin does not become sin in many cases after you hang around the wrong crowd. Sin loses its sinfulness to you, and things are, you just get the wrong perspective. Now, you say, well, Pastor, what brought you to this point? Well, notice that Matthew said that Peter went in and sat down with the enemy, and look at it, to see the end. And I submit to you folks that this was the wrong perspective. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, I want to serve notice on you folks that this was not the end. This was anything but the end. If anything, this was a beginning. It was the beginning of the gospel program that the Lord Jesus came to do for mankind, to give us a way of salvation. And let me just remind you, folks, that whenever you are speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as an end. There is no such thing as an end. And so when Peter went in here thinking that this was the end, I'm telling you, he was dead wrong. He was dead wrong. But when you follow the Lord Jesus afar off, you'll lose your perspective on everything. Another one of God's attributes. I spoke about the attributes of God this morning. Well, there's another attribute that that I want to mention to you, and that is that our God, and that means the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, our God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, and these three are one, so they're all one, all right? So what I'm going to say about God the Father is true about God the Son and is true about the Holy Spirit. And here is that attribute. Not only is God omnipotent and omniscient, and not only is he omnipresent, and not only is he immutable, he never changes, but God is also eternal. Now, do you know what that is saying to us? The fact that our Savior is eternal, that means, dear friend, that our Lord will never have an end. Never have an end. Think about that. He is eternal. That means he had no beginning, and that means he will have no end. For as long as eternity rolls, our Savior will be. Our God will be. And so if Peter went in and sat down thinking, this is it, this is the end, I'm telling you, folks, Peter was dead wrong. The truth is, they are. What happened here was really just the beginning. Now, listen, folks, trials and difficulties are not to destroy us, but most often come our way in order to strengthen us and to make us better and stronger people. God does not throw you in the deep water to drown you. God puts you in the deep water to teach you how to swim. And if you'll just let God do that, you'll get the right perspective on everything. You'll find out that God knows why you're in that trial. God knows why you're dealing with that trouble, and God will teach you how to swim through that trial. You see, folks, here's the key. For any believer, this is the key. You need to stay strong and follow closely. Whatever you do, don't do like Peter and follow afar off. Let me challenge you, church. Let me challenge you to stay close to the Lord Jesus. And you do that by daily getting in the book, daily reading the Word of God. You do that by taking time every day to spend in prayer. And folks, let's consciously work hard this week to get close to the Lord and then to stay there. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything push you away and afar from the Lord. Because when you follow the Lord Jesus from afar off, you are on the path to spiritual danger. Oh, Christian, be careful. Church, especially at this time, let's stay close to the Lord. In all things, let's stay close to the Lord. We have got to trust the Lord through what we're facing here. And I want to just challenge you tonight. Don't follow from afar. Follow up close to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you now for the Word of God, and I pray that we have gotten something tonight from the message. I pray that you will challenge us tonight to want to stay close to our Savior. And Father, during this time, especially when we do not know what tomorrow is going to bring, I just pray that you will help us to get close and to stay close to our Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And our faith is not finished yet. When that trumpet sounds and we are taken to heaven, then our salvation will be complete. We are saved but we're not as saved as we're going to be. We're one day going to have a new body. A new body. Oh my, what a wonderful day that's going to be. And our soul will be in heaven in the presence of the Lord, and we will have a new glorified resurrection body for our eternal saved souls to live in. So Father, thank you for all these wonderful promises you've given us. But now help us to stay close. Help us not to wander off, not to get afar off, because certainly if we do, we're going to end up hanging around the wrong people, and we're going to have the wrong perspective about things. And Father, we're going to just realize how weak we are and how the devil can so easily get us. But Father, help us to stay close. Oh, I pray we'll not find ourselves in the wrong place. But Father, may we just stay close to you. Help us, Lord, not to get in the wrong position, but just stay close to you. Oh, Lord, bless us now. Bless this thought to our hearts. And I pray that you'll help us now to have a good week. And Father, again, keep the Church of the Open Door folks safe. Keep us virus free. And Father, bless your people at the Church of the Open Door. Wouldn't it be a wonderful testimony to be able to say when all this is over that nobody got sick from the Church of the Open Door? What a testimony that would be. Father, I pray that you will bless this church and put a hedge around us and put your blessing upon us. Guide and direct now, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.